I'm back. I didn't go anywhere. Across the hallway. And back. 713-526-5738. Look, I know that you know that number by heart. I know that you don't need to hear it, but I'm gonna say it, you know, several more times in today's show. It's the number to call during our fall fun drive. And a couple of nice premiums to offer you today. One, I'm gonna offer the usual come see me. The usual financial advisory engagement. Maybe your head is reeling after the third quarter of 2011. And you feel like you need to talk to somebody about, is my portfolio right? Is my planning right? For $500, you can come on in, visit with me. I'm a CFA, registered with the SEC. I will be happy to help take a look, give a second opinion if that's what you need. We've had lots and lots of people over the years who've taken me up on it. But I just want to say this. If you do take the financial advisory package at $500, again, you get to come see me. We'll do a full 360-degree review of your finances, do some financial planning projections, look at your insurance issues, look at any education issues, charitable, anything that's it's all fair game for us to take a look at. But if you do pledge for that, please plan to come, because some people make this pledge and they don't come. And I send emails. I say, look, You pledged to the station $500. You actually made the payment of $500. Are you going to come in? No response, no response, no response. So look, seriously, if you are going to come in, if you're going to make a pledge to come see me and get professional financial consultation, then you need to do it. You need to follow up on it. You know, the station's fine taking your pledge and getting paid, but I want to see you. I want to meet you. I want to help you. So, I mean, that's the only thing. Please, if you're going to make that pledge, I really only want it if you're going to follow up. When I send you an email and say, let's make a date, then you need to follow up. Okay, so that's the first premium thank you gift at the $500 level. And the number to call, 713-526-5738. And I'm only offering five today. So after five, that's it, because I can't take too many people. All right? Now, here's the second premium. The second premium is a book. It's a little book that's great called The Investment Answer. The Investment Answer. The five key decisions that every investor needs to make. It's by Dan Goldie, who is also a CFA and a CFP as well. He's an advisor based in California. Dan Goldie, you may remember the name if you are a tennis fan. Dan Goldie was a professional tennis player. I think he was top of collegiate players, and then he was a pro tennis player, and in his later career became an advisor. And he wrote this book with a guy named Gordon Murray. Gordon Murray, let me read you the background on Gordon Murray. Gordon Murray spent more than 25 years working on Wall Street, primarily at Goldman Sachs, Lehman Brothers, and Credit Suisse First Boston. Now, look, here's the story about Gordon Murray. And his story has appeared in the New York Times and elsewhere. Gordon Murray worked at all those places. And, of course, in working at all those places, he saw everything in the investment world. And Gordon Murray came out later on and said, I've seen it all, and I don't like what I see on Wall Street. I don't like the quality of the advice that's given there. I've seen too many people who have simply paid lots of fees to Wall Street, and there's got to be a better way to invest. There's got to be a better way to manage your investments. And Gordon Murray went on a search, found what he thought was the answer. It's also what I think is the answer, many of the answers. And so that's what happened with Gordon Murray. And then Gordon Murray was diagnosed with cancer. He was diagnosed with brain cancer. And with very little time to live, according to his doctors, Gordon Murray said, I need to write a book about this journey that I've taken and the things that I've discovered and found out about how to be a successful investor. And the things that he found are not rocket science. They're very simple. But the most important things in investing are, of course, the simplest. And so Gordon Murray went on to write this primer of a book, The Investment Answer, with Dan Goldie. Dan Goldie and Gordon Murray have written The Investment Answer. The book came out about a year ago. And very shortly after the book actually went into print, we lost Gordon Murray. Gordon Murray passed away. Very sad, left a wife and several children, but also out of his great generosity, left us The Investment Answer. The man who had spent time at Goldman, at Lehman, at Credit Suisse First Boston, said, all I've learned and all I've had to unlearn, I can tally for you in this book written with my friend Dan Goldie, The Investment Answer. For $100, this can be yours as well. The Investment Answer by Dan Goldie and Gordon Murray. So that's what we have on tap today. For $500, you can come actually visit a real advisor, me, and we can take a look at your issues and discuss them and see what we can do to put you on the right track if you think you're on the wrong track, or keep you on the right track if you already think you're on the right track. Or for a lot less, for $100, you can pick up a copy of The Investment Answer, the book that's come out over the past year. It's a great read. It's only about 75 pages. So if you don't have a lot of time to read, it's the book for you. But it's chock full of important insights about what you need to do to make important decisions about your investments. Dan Goldie and Gordon Murray. Gordon Murray, who spent so much time on Wall Street, decided at the end of his career he really didn't like what he had found to pass for investment advice on Wall Street, and found a whole other world available here in the United States through the independent advisory movement, and wrote a book prior to his death called The Investment Answer for the $100 level. And you can pick it up, both of those, at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. This is our fall fund drive. I don't need to tell you how important it is to become a member of KPFT. And I could say support KPFT, but it's really not just about supporting KPFT. It's about supporting yourself as well. When you make a membership pledge to KPFT, you are making a pledge of support, not just for the station, not just to me, not just to everybody who works there, not just to Generation Radio, not just to Doyle working the boards and Ernesto doing the management thing. You are making a membership pledge on behalf of all of the things that you know and that you believe in. And that is what is so critical to know about making membership pledge to KPFT. 713-526-5738. Let's go out to Pledge Central right now. I don't know if it's Lacey or Ernesto working it out there, but let's find out. Are you there, guys?
Yes, it's me.
Hey, Lacey, how are you?
Good. It's actually pretty quiet right now.
Well, that's not going to stay that way for long, sweetheart. So
Good. Just
hold on to your horses, all right?
Okay.
So the first thing I want to do, not the first thing, but the next thing I want to do, is I want to thank somebody who has already made a pledge to New Capital Show over the internet prior to us even coming on the air today. And that's to Edgar Bowron, who is a returning member at the $100 level. Edgar, I want to thank you very much, who said, you know what? I like New Capital Show so much that I'm going to go ahead and make my pledge without even being prompted to do so by me. Now, that is loyalty. Edgar, thank you so much. So, Lacey, go ahead and tally Edgar for $100, and that's going to kick us off here. 713-526-5738. What else, Lacey? Tell me what's going on out there.
Well, you know, we've got a lot of other premiums going on.
Okay, go ahead and announce
the ones that you've mentioned. We've got, I think we've got some Richard Wolf still available.
Okay.
And we've got your shirts for $90.
Oh, fantastic.
And there's Gabor Mate, which are DVDs and books. And, yeah, so we're just waiting for calls to be made.
Okay, well, that sounds fantastic. 713-526-5738 is the number to call. You heard other thank you premiums that are available as well. Gabor Mate, the great South American economist who is thinking so deeply about how the world needs to change our economic thinking. And, of course, that is so much of the way that our show here at New Capital Show functions and what we talk about. New Capital Show T-shirts available as well. If you are a student, and increasingly we are seeing students rise up and make their voices heard through things like the Occupy movement and the Occupy Wall Street movement, Occupy Houston, then we also have very, very basic entry-level pledges. If you are a student, please take the time to show your support for KPFT. As you know so well, we support you in so many of the things that you do and so many of the things that you believe in and so many of the efforts that you are making. 713-526-5738. I want to take a moment and talk for a second about an article that caught my eye. Occasionally something really catches my eye that I like to bring to you, almost in its entirety, if not in its entirety. This is a piece by Joel Cohen. He's a mathematical biologist and the head of the Laboratory of Populations at Rockefeller University and at Columbia University. Let me say that again. He is a mathematical biologist and the head of the Laboratory of Populations. So the guy's got some credentials, a mathematical biologist. And I particularly hooked on to this article after I started reading about an incident that happened in Australia. You may have seen it. It got some publicity in the Houston Chronicle. Of course, the Houston Chronicle has become basically a tabloid, as far as I can tell at this point. Doyle, I don't know if you're seeing that, but they changed their online format and it's gone even more tabloidy, right? Has it not?
To be honest, I'm one of those that does not pay attention to printed news anymore.
Yeah.
And,
Good for you.
I don't go to their website. So.
Smart guy.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I feel sorry for the industry, but it is what it is.
It's like this tabloid. I mean, they said, I guess not enough people were looking at it, so they said, we're going to tart it up or something, you know?
Yeah.
We're going to sex it up.
I know this Huffington Post has been like that.
Well,
too.
Yeah.
It's gotten more and more tabloid.
Yeah. So the Houston Chronicle, anyway, So a very sad thing happened in Australia, no question about it. A young man from Houston lost his life in a shark attack. I don't know if you saw this or people have heard about it. It got a lot of publicity. For whatever reason, shark attacks always get publicity. I mean, think of all the ways that people perish on a daily basis. And whenever it's by shark, you know, perishing by shark and, you know, perishing by great white shark in Australia really gets people to look at your news site here in Houston. People just seem to pay attention to that. And anyway, very sad. Nobody wants to see someone lose their life, especially a young 20-something person. This young man from Houston was diving, and apparently he was attacked attacked by a shark, a great white shark. They're assuming. They don't know. Nobody was there with him, so nobody eyewitnessed it. Apparently, they found his body later. The response of the Australian government has been just take a guess. We're going to go out and hunt down this shark and, you know, we're going to kill it. and so people are scratching their heads saying, well, you know, the shark was doing what it does in the place that it does it. And I'm a diver. I'm sure that a lot of you listening out there, you've been diving, and you know that there are risks to diving, and there are certain places that you go where, you know, things can happen. And I can't imagine that anyone who goes diving would want retribution to be taken on a shark, even if you were the one. You know, I can't imagine if I was to be killed by a shark attack that I would want the world to take retribution on the shark. That just seems insane. And yet there it is. You know, they've got a big diving tourist industry in Australia. Well, I was looking at the different news headlines on this particular thing. And, of course, you know what they're saying on AM radio, right? AM radio, those are the stations where they say, you know, go get that shark, right? So here's the point of this.
Bloodthirst.
Yeah. We're going to find out if you're listening to KPFT, if you really belong as a KPFT listener or not. This is going to be the shark test. So if you're someone who says they should be killing that shark, I don't know how they're going to find it, right? How are they going to know which shark it is? Going to kill 10 of them and cut open their stomachs? I mean, you know, it's ludicrous. But if you are someone who says, go get that shark, then you need to be over on AM radio somewhere, right? You need to turn the station right now. This is not the station for you. Now, if you're a person who says, well, we should maybe think about killing the shark and maybe not think about killing the shark. Maybe we should think about not killing the shark. Maybe there's a position for killing the shark, and maybe there's also an argument for not killing the shark. You probably need to be listening to our friends at 88.7, right? You're going to get this kind of weak-kneed, non-positional thing where you could imagine killing the shark and you could imagine not killing the shark, and it's maybe this kind of even-handed thing. Okay, so I'm just going to say that. If that's kind of where you're at, maybe there's arguments for both killing the shark and not killing it, then we're probably not the station. However, if you're someone who says, leave the damn shark alone, please, leave the shark alone, all right? The shark did what the shark did. It's done. There's nothing we can do about it. I'm sure that the young man who was the diver would not want anything to happen to the shark. Divers tend to be extraordinarily conscious of the incredible beauty and value in our oceans. Once you have dived and you have seen the extraordinary life in our oceans, you're the last person who says kill the shark. Okay? So if you are a person who says leave the shark alone for God's sake, or for whomever's, for the shark's sake, you are at home on the radio. You have found your home on the radio. You don't need to look any farther. You took the shark test. Let the shark live, please. Let all the sharks live. You may know, you may not know, that shark populations are down 90% or so since Peter Benchley wrote Jaws. Since a single bestseller book sent people on a paranoid fear trip of sharks. Sharks are now being massacred in drift nets worldwide from huge fishing trawlers from the countries of China and Japan and France. The shark population in the world has plummeted. This is an incredible. You talk about terrifying. It's not what sharks do to humans. It's what humans do to sharks. So if you have heard about this unfortunate shark attack on this young man from Houston, we're all very sorry to hear about it. We're sorry to the young man's family. But really, leave the shark alone. You know, leave the sharks alone. You have found your place on the dial. Because there's going to be no other place on the dial that unequivocally says, leave the shark alone, people. Okay? Leave the shark alone. 713-526-5738 is the number for you to call to make your pledge to your home on the radio dial. Not the place where they say, kill the sharks. Any shark that would bite, take a bite out of a human's got to be killed. You know where that is. That's going to be places on the AM radio dial, some places on FM. You know the places where they're going to try to argue the argument and oh, there's this argument. I mean, the way the world is right now, there's no room for those sorts of so-called even-handed arguments. What there's room for right now is preserving shark populations, preserving lion populations, preserving tiger populations. You know, we're in critical condition right now on our population of wild animals. And this is the home on the Houston radio dial that comes out unequivocally and says, hey, leave the sharks alone. Leave the lions alone. Leave the tigers alone. Leave the bears alone. Let them come back. Leave the cougars alone.
Let them come and volunteer
at
the station.
Let them come and volunteer at the station. You may have seen that terrible thing that took place in Ohio a couple of weeks ago, where these animals were let loose by their owner. Of course, the guy did a horrendous thing. But, I mean, the sheriff there just said, all right, we're going to open fire and kill 50 animals, rare Bengal tigers and lions held in captivity. Look, I wasn't there. It's not for me to judge. I don't know what the guy was facing. But it looks awfully suspicious to me that they couldn't call for outside reinforcements to come and tranquilize these animals, try to get them into good homes. An absolute massacre and a slaughter. And that brings me to this article, 7 Billion. The article is 7 Billion by Joel Cohen. The 7 Billion, of course, refers to what? Not $7 billion. Not 7 billion sharks. 7 billion human beings and counting. And I want to bring this article to your attention. But while I'm bringing it to you, I'm going to make a deal with you. I don't want you to forget about the number 713-526-5738. Okay? That's the deal I'm making with you. I'm going to bring you some content here. But I want you to be remembering as I'm giving you this content with one side of your brain that it's pledge drive. Okay, that's the only deal. That's the deal I'm going to make with you listeners today. You're going to have to remember with the other half of your brain. 713-526-5738 is the number to call. At the $500 level, you can select a financial consultation with me in my office. I think you'll enjoy it. We'll do five of those at the mat. When those are gone, that's it. I can't do any more than five. I'm just too busy. And at the $100 level, the investment answer by Dan Goldie and Gordon Murray. And then there's a whole bunch of other premium gifts that Lacey was mentioning earlier. 713-526-5738. So that's it. That's the deal. You've got to remember that it's Pledge Drive. Great to hear the phone ringing. Now, here's $7 billion. Joel Cohen, he is a professor of he's a mathematical biologist. I love these titles. It used to be just, you know, you were a biologist. You know, now you're a mathematical biologist. Well, I can't think of someone better suited to bring us the news of what 7 billion humans mean than a mathematical biologist. And this is what he says. He says, 1 week from today, and this was written on the 23rd, 4 days ago. 1 week from today, Joel Cohen says, the United Nations estimates the world's population will reach 7 billion. You got that? 1 week from October 23rd. Let's put it at November 1st. My birthday's November 4th. Right? So that will be 3 days before I turn 46. Goodness gracious. The world will pass 7 billion people and counting. Now, look, we can talk about all the problems we've got here with the banks and Wall Street and all of it. The government, the euro. But I'm not sure that there's a bigger issue that we face in this world than the number of us. Joel Cohen says, because censuses are infrequent and incomplete, no one knows the precise date. The Census Bureau of the U.S. actually puts it somewhere next March. But there can be no doubt that humanity is approaching a milestone. The first billion people accumulated over a leisurely interval from the origins of humans hundreds of thousands of years ago. A couple hundred thousand years is really where we place Homo sapiens to the early 1800s. So it took 200,000 years from the first human to the early 1800s to get to 1 billion. The second billion took 120 years from 1800 to 1920. Then in the last 50 years, humanity more than doubled, surging from 3 billion people in 1959. So 5 years before I was born, there were 3 billion people. And as I stand on the threshold of turning 46, we're looking at 7 billion. The human population has more than doubled. Now, I'm sorry. If there is a more important factoid of the last 50 years, you know, maybe you can pick computing power, something like that, right? You could pick Moore's law and the number of times computing power has multiplied. Maybe you could pick the so-called green revolution and the fixing of nitrogen. Back in the late 1920s, early 1930s, I think was when it happened, and the increasing yields in human agriculture, which actually may be the thing responsible for this, the main thing responsible for this explosion in the human population. There are a lot of things you could point to, but I don't know that you could point to a more salient factoid of the last 50 years than that the human population has more than doubled. In 1959, the population was 3 billion. In 1974, it reached 4 billion. In 1987, okay, 1987, we added another billion. Between the years of 1974 and 1987, that's 13 years. In 13 years, we added 1 billion people between 74 and 87. And between 1987 and 1998, that's 11 years. In 11 years, we went from 5 to 6 billion people. And Joel Cohen, the mathematical biologist from Columbia University, states this rate of population increase has no historical precedent. He asked the question, can the Earth support 7 billion now? And the 3 billion people who are expected to be added by the end of this century. Okay? So we're going to see, we think, a slowing. We think we've peaked in the growth rate. But that doesn't mean that the size of the population has peaked. You got that? The growth rate is going to slow because, my gosh, how much faster could it get than adding a billion people in 10 years, you know, between 1987 and 1998? So the growth rate we expect is going to slow, but that's not going to mean that we're going to have fewer humans. We're, in fact, going to have more humans. We're going to add another, according to projections, 3 billion people by the end of the current century that we're in, by the end of the 21st century. Are the enormous increases in households, cities, material consumption, and waste compatible with dignity, health, environmental quality, and freedom from poverty? What an amazing question that Joel Cohen asks. Let me ask it to you again. Are the enormous increases in households, cities, material consumption, and waste, are these things compatible with dignity, health, environmental quality, and freedom from poverty? My friends, I'm going to go on with this article in a second, but that is the fundamental question that we ask in different ways every day at KPFT. Are these increases in human populations, in households, in cities, in consumption, in waste, an issue that is very near and dear to our hearts here at New Capital Show as we continue to talk about the issue of recycling here in the city of Houston, where we say, hey, that stuff's not waste. It's only waste if you throw it in the landfill. As we continue to beg our mayor, who's running for re-election, to focus on this issue when she seems completely deaf to it, it's only waste if you waste it. Are these things compatible with the incredibly important issues that we as humans face, the issues of dignity, health, environment, and freedom from poverty? Joel Cohen says, for some in the West, the greatest challenge, because it is the least visible, is to shake off, at last, the view that large and growing numbers of people represent power and prosperity. Remember, this sits at the very heart of our economic system, this notion of growth, this notion of more, and the idea that sometimes the only way we can get more, not sometimes, most often, the way that our economic system has sought to get more is through more people. You know, we need a billion people drinking Coke. Right? If you think back to the 1980s, that was the dream of the Coca-Cola Corporation. My God, look at all the Chinese in communist China. What a dream. They're all going to be drinking Coca-Cola. This at a time when here in the United States, we've got people figuring out, wait a minute, I'm not so sure I should be giving sugar, pure sugar syrup, to my kids. And I'm sure that in China, they will figure the same thing out. Again, the question is, how do we shake off the view that our economy, for it to be powerful and prosperous, has to be supported by large and growing numbers of people? Today, while many people reject the equation of human numbers with power, it remains unpalatable, if not suicidal, for political leaders to admit that the United States and Europe do not need growing populations to prosper and be influential, and that rich countries should reduce their rates of unintended pregnancy and help poor countries to do likewise. In other words, he is saying it is still suicidal for a political leader to stand up in this country and say, hey, we got enough people. Let's not gear the economy toward more people. Maybe let's gear the economy toward smarter decision-making. Let's gear the economy toward less waste. Let's gear the economy toward greater efficiency. Let's gear the economy toward greater levels of individual personal happiness. Let's gear the economy toward less poverty. Gosh, I've just given you a pretty big list of things we could gear the economy to. And yet, Joel Cohen says, it is still suicidal for someone running for office to stand up and say, hey, we got enough people. We got enough. We got plenty. We may have too many here and abroad and everywhere. When we are recommending to kill the shark, one of the few remaining great white sharks in the world, and when we're putting to death 50 animals who are endangered and on the verge of extinction in Zanesville, Ohio, because we're scared to bring in some guys with trank guns overnight, we may have too many people. Today, that is the situation. It is suicidal and unpalatable for political leaders to suggest that there may be other ways to do it. With the globalization of work, the incentive for owners of capital today to ignore or not address rapid growth in the numbers of poor people remains as it was for the kings of yore. Lower wages for workers at any level of skill offer a bigger economic surplus to be captured. Think about what Joel Cohen is saying. He is saying, with the globalization of work, we essentially have treatment of people in foreign countries, in developing countries, who essentially serve the same purpose that serfs did for kings during medieval times, when the king was able to capture the surplus value of labor. And of course, it's been a long time in this country. A long time in this country since we've talked about the surplus value of labor, as Marxist economics was totally banished in the last 50 years. Whether you're a Marxist economist or not, come on. Discussion of the surplus value of labor belongs in any discussion of economics. But just as pronatalism is unjustified, so are the dire prophecies of Thomas Malthus and his followers, who believe that soaring populations must lead to mass starvation. This is Joel Cohen writing. I'm not so sure about that. I think there's a very persuasive viewpoint that Malthus was early. That's all. He was early. He predicted exactly right what was going to happen in global economics. Human populations were going to overrun the world. Not sure I agree with him. Cohen goes on to give us some very interesting facts. Life expectancy tripled in the last few thousand years. Think about that. Life expectancy for humans tripled in the last couple thousand years.
Yeah, that's
startling. To a global average of nearly 70 years. 70 years old is the global average for the average human on the planet. It may differ here in the United States. A woman may be whatever, 78 or 80, but that's the global average, 70. The average number of children per woman fell worldwide to about 2.5 children now, from 5 in 1950. So the average woman had, on average, 5 children in 1950. The world's population is growing at 1.1% per year, half the peak rate in the 1960s. So this is good news. The slowing growth rate enables families and societies to focus on the well-being of their children rather than the quantity of the number of children. And I can tell you, as a parent of a 4- and 6-year-old, That's what's important to me and my wife. We're focused on what kind of quality life can we bring to these two children, not how many children do we have to have. And I think that a lot of people are also focused, a lot of parents are also focused in a similar way. Nearly two-thirds of women under 50 who are married or who are in a union use some form of contraception. Pretty good. Two-thirds of women under 50 who are married or in a union use some form of contraception, which saves the lives of mothers who would otherwise die in childbirth and avoid millions of abortions each year. That's an achievement that people who oppose and people who support abortion can celebrate. Right? And this is what we at KPFT say. We should be doing family planning. If you want to prevent abortions, fine, we have to do family planning. We have to have sex education. We have to be able to talk with young people about what it means to start a family. People should have parenting classes. It's all about education. You can't have no education and then expect to have no abortions. Doesn't work that way. So those are things that are good news. But Joel Cohen says there's bad news too. Nearly half the world lives on $2 a day or less. Half the world, my friends. Half the world. 7 billion people that we will arrive at in the next week, according to the United Nations figures. Just at the same time that I turn 46 years of age, half the people in this world live on the equivalent of $2 a day. Or less. In China, 36% of the people in China live on $2 a day or less. In India, 76% of the people live on $2 a day or less, which is why listening to the show that comes before me, Generation, is so important, because you want to hear the sound of the young of Asia. There you go. More than 800 million people live in slums. A similar number, mostly women, are illiterate. 800 million illiterate people, mostly women. Some 850 million to 925 million people experience food insecurity or chronic undernourishment. These are staggering figures, staggering figures. And they say there may be too many of us. In much of Africa and South Asia, more than half the children are stunted. That is, they are low heights for their age as a result of chronic hunger. And while the world produced 2.3 billion metric tons of cereal grain in 2009 to 2010, that's enough calories to sustain 9 to 10 billion people, or 11 billion even, meaning we produce enough grain to feed 9, 10, 11 billion people, only 46% of the grain went to humans. Less than half. Domestic animals got 34% of the grain crop, right, to fatten them up and to feed them, and 19% went to industrial use like biofuel, starches, and plastics. There were 208 million pregnancies in 2008. 208 million pregnancies, 86 million were unintended. 86 million. More than one-third were unintended pregnancies. And they resulted in 33 million unplanned births. So 50 million were terminated. And unintended births are not the whole problem. Contraceptives have been free since 2002 in Niger, where the total fertility rate, more than 7 children per woman in mid-2010, was the world's highest. Women in Niger marry at a median age of 15 years of age. And married women and men reported in 2006 that they wanted an average of 8 children and 12 children, respectively. So even though contraceptives are free in Niger, you have to pair contraception with family planning and education. Otherwise, you have people who think, I want 12 kids, I want 8 kids. One more little piece, and then we're going to take a break and go back to Pledge Central and check in on them before I continue with 7 billion. Human demands on the earth have grown enormously. Though the atmosphere, the oceans, and the continents are no bigger now than they were when humans evolved. Right? Our atmosphere hasn't gotten any bigger. Our oceans aren't getting any bigger. Our continents aren't getting any bigger. But boy, we are hitting them hard. Already, more than a billion people live without an adequate, renewable supply of fresh water. 1 billion people. I'm going to take a break. Let's go to Pledge Central before we come back and keep talking about the 7 billion in the state of our planet. You won't get this information this way on any other station. Lacey, tell us how we are doing on our pledge drive.
We actually have one caller right now.
Great.
Finishing up, taking the pledge. So if you just hang on for one quick second, I can thank them.
Okay. Anybody else we want to thank?
No.
Oh.
I know. Man.
Come on, folks. 713-526-5738. I made a deal with you. I told you I would bring you the $7 billion if you kept active on the right-hand side of your brain, if you kept active the fact that we're in pledge drive. 713-526-5738 is the number to call. We have got to get to our goal so that we can continue to bring you all this type of information that is so critical for you to have in thinking about today's world and the world that you want for the future of your children, for your own future, for the future of nations and people and animals worldwide. 713-526-5738 is the number to call.
713-526-5738. Think about the wealth of knowledge that you can, you know, receive from Leo's advisement here. I mean, he does a show, but he's also an advisor, a financial advisor. And speaking of which, that package that you mentioned, Leo, it's $500 pledge gets you a financial advisement.
Yeah, you get a full consultation, Doyle. You'd get the same thing that you would otherwise pay thousands of dollars for if you had to come in through the front door.
Right.
So you're getting an enormous, enormous value.
Thank you for that call.
An enormous value in that. You're not going to be able to visit and get a full plan with any kind of advisor for less than thousands of dollars. Thank you for the calls. Keep them coming. And, of course, at the $100 level, the book I mentioned, it is a really, really fine work by Dan Goldie and Gordon Murray. It is a short and sweet book about what you need to know about your investments. And that is at the $100 level, The Investment Answer. The Investment Answer by Dan Goldie and Gordon Murray. Gordon Murray, who wrote this book as he learned that he had terminal cancer, determined that this was important for him to do. He did it. And in his very last days, the book came out in print. He was able to see it before he passed away. And then he was gone. And he did his work for us and has left it in the form of The Investment Answer at the $100 level. And then, of course, as Doyle was mentioning, at the $500 level. 713-526-5738 is the number to call. Lacey and crew are standing by. We've got four or five or six or so volunteers
Thank
who are waiting to take your call. Thank you. Keep the phone calls coming. And if you keep the phone calls coming, I'll keep the story of the $7 billion coming, because it's not over yet. I've got more to bring you, and I've only got about 15 minutes or so to do it in. So get the phone ringing if you want me to bring you the remainder of the story of the $7 billion from Joel Cohen, who is professor of biology, professor of mathematical biology, then we got to get the phones ringing. So do your part, 713-526-5738.
You know, Leo,
yeah, go ahead.
I was thinking about, you know, self-reliance and how that affects the economy in terms of population, you know, and you were talking about serfdom and Chinese workers' rights and the fact that most of the things that we're buying in this country are imported from overseas, which wastes a lot of fuel and takes advantage of a lot of people that are working for hardly anything, basically slave labor. And, you know, this station is not a slave to corporate America. This station is a slave to the community. But we rely on your donations. So we thank you for your call, and we hope that you can call in and donate right now to keep KPFT 90.1 on the air and in support of Leo Gold's New Capital Show,
yep,
which is a program that, you know, quite frankly, you will not receive on any other station.
No, you won't get it anywhere else. And what we've been talking about, what we do talk about, is a fair economic system. It's not fair that one country should have protections in place for workers, but another one shouldn't. And then we say, hey, let's trade together. We're all for trade. I'm all for trade. Let's trade. Definitely. Let's trade. Trading has always, I think, on a fair basis, been good for the world. But one country doesn't take care of its environment, doesn't have environmental protections, another one does. How can we trade together? It's not a balanced playing field. One country has certain protections for workers, another doesn't. One has protections for children, another doesn't. So what I think the world is starting to wake up to, and what I hope the world is starting to wake up to, is that we have to have a system of trading that is fair, where the participants say, we're willing to join this trading bloc, and we are willing to have laws and protections in our country that look like the rules of the trading bloc. And we don't have that right now, as Doyle points out. And Doyle's not exactly right. It's not slave labor in China. It's not slave labor. It's exactly what we said it was. It's serf labor. It's serfdom.
Right.
It's where people are paid very, very, very low wages, and the vast value of their work goes to others. It goes to
It's supposed to go to us for saving.
Right. It goes to some of it goes to Americans in the form of cheaper labor. Some of it goes to Chinese entrepreneurs, but very little of it goes to Chinese workers. And
right.
And contrast that at a place like IBM. I mean, you can have very high rewards going to workers. Look at a company like IBM, which has made such enormous strides. And by the way, IBM stock has reached an all-time high recently. To me, IBM is one of the great companies. This is a company that's reinvented itself as a computer services company. It's a company that has extraordinary benefits that respect same-sex relationships and that respect domestic unions. And this is a company where very, very fair and high-quality wages are paid to its employees. There are lots and lots of companies like that. So it's not that all companies are not doing it right, but not enough companies are following those that are doing it right. Okay. Hey, Doyle, let's get back to $7 billion here. It sounds like we might have the phones ringing. I want to do a little bit more on this. So here we go. All right. So let's quiet it down in the background. I want to get to the conclusion here. Two-thirds of fresh water in the world are used for agriculture. Two-thirds. Over the coming half century, as incomes rise, people will try to buy agricultural products that require more water. Cities and industries will demand more than three times as much water in developing countries. And watershed managers will increasingly want to limit water diversion from rivers to maintain floodplains, permit fish to migrate and recycle organic matter, and maintain water quality. Water shortages are projected to be significant. In northern Africa, India, China, parts of Europe, Eastern Australia, and hey, have you heard of this place? The Western United States. Do we count as that here in Texas? I would have to say after this summer, we would count ourselves as a place where water shortages might exist. Climate changes will increase the water available for agricultural in North America and Asia, but decrease it in Africa, Latin America, and the Caribbean. Where is all of this taking us? The coming half century will see huge shifts in the geopolitical balance of numbers, further declines in the number of children per woman, smaller but more numerous households, an increasingly elderly population, and growing in more numerous cities. The United States Population Division anticipates 8 billion people by 2025, 9 billion by 2043, and 10 billion by 2083. India will have more people than China shortly after 2020, and sub-Saharan Africa will have more people than India before 2040. In 1950, there were nearly three times as many Europeans as sub-Saharan Africans. You got that? Let me read that again. In 1950, there were three times as many Europeans as sub-Saharan Africans. By 2010, there were 16% more sub-Saharan Africans than Europeans. It's amazing. And by 2100, according to the Population Division, there will be nearly 5 sub-Saharan Africans for every European. Is that amazing change in the demographics of the world? In some ways, the growth in the numbers of people matters less than the growth in the numbers of households. If each household has its own refrigerator and air conditioner and TV and car, the average energy demand for a given number of people goes up as the average number of people in a household goes down. The urban population of developing countries is expected to grow by 1 million people every 5 days through at least 2030. The urban population in developing countries, 1 million people, new ones every day. Every 5 days, while the rural population falls. Many cities will eat into prime agricultural land unless they grow in density rather than in extent. The coming revolution in aging is well underway in the more developed countries. It will go global in the next half century. In 1950, for each person 65 and older, there were more than 6 children under 15. By 2070, elderly people will outnumber children under 15, and there will be only 3 people of working age for every 2 people under 15 or 65 and older. Is economic development the best contraception against problems? Or is voluntary contraception the best form of development? You got it? These are incredibly profound questions. Does the world need a bigger pie, that is, more productive technologies, or fewer forks, that is, slower population growth through voluntary contraception? Or do we need better manners, fewer inequalities, less violence and corruption, freer trade and mobility, more rule of law, less material-intensive consumption? Or is education of better quality and greater availability a key ingredient of all other strategies? Joel Cohen, the mathematical biologist, says all of these approaches have value. However much we would like to choose, there is no panacea, though some priorities are clear. You ready for the priorities? Voluntary contraception and support services, universal primary and secondary education, and food for pregnant and lactating mothers and children under 5, says this distinguished mathematical biologist. These should be the priorities. These priorities are mutually reinforcing, and they are affordable. Hold on to your seatbelts here. Providing modern family planning methods to all people with unmet needs would cost, you're going to say it's so much we couldn't possibly do it. You ready for the number? You ready how much it would cost to provide modern family planning to all people with unmet needs? $6.7 billion a year. Slightly less than the $6.9 billion Americans are geared up to spend on Halloween this year. Wow. We're going to spend more on Halloween for candy than we could spend to meet all family planning for everyone who needs it in the planet. By one estimate, achieving universal primary and secondary education, universal, by 2015, would cost anywhere from $35 to $70 billion. I've told you that we've spent $20 billion or so annually on air conditioning in Iraq and Afghanistan. Let me finish up here, and then we're going to get back to Pledge Central. You get the point of this article. It is time for us to shift our priorities. If we spend our wealth, our material, environmental, human, and financial capital, you hear me talk about these forms of capital all the time, material, environmental, human, financial, they are all vital forms of capital. If we spend that wealth faster than we increase it by savings and investment, we will shift the cost of the prosperity that some enjoy today onto future generations. The mismatch between the short-term incentives that guide our political and economic institutions and even our families on the one hand and our long-term aspirations on the other is severe. We must increase the probability that every child born will be wanted and well cared for and have decent prospects for a good life. We must conserve more and more wisely use energy, water, land, materials, and biological diversity with which we are blessed. Henceforth, we need to measure our growth and prosperity not by the sheer number of people who inhabit the earth and not by flawed measurements like GDP, but by how well we satisfy basic human needs, by how well we foster dignity, creativity, community, and cooperation, by how well we care for our biological and physical environment, our only home here on the earth. 713-526-5738. We are just about there. as we approach 7 billion people and counting on this earth, I want you to signify and to indicate that you understand the stakes of the future by becoming a member of KPFT, one of the only stations in the world that is focused on these issues and discussing them with high degrees of honesty and integrity. 713-526-5738, 526-KPFT. Let's go back out to Pledge Central, Doyle, and pick up there and see how we are doing and getting toward our pledge. Lacey, get us up to date here.
Yes, we actually have two people to thank. We'd like to thank Sherry from Katy.
Thank you, Sherry.
And she says she loves you.
Oh, I love you too, Sherry. Thank you. And I love you because, for many things, Sherry, frankly. But one of the reasons I love you is because you've come out of the stands and said, I support KPFT. And that is an act of love. Go on, Lacey.
And Jennifer from Pasadena is a new donator.
Fantastic. A new member, you mean?
Yes, a new member. Sorry. So we will be matching her pledge with a new member match.
But Jennifer, thank you. Great to have you from Pasadena. Keep the calls coming. Yes, it's true. The show is coming to a close. Yes, it's true. We've only got a couple of minutes. But it doesn't take long at all to push 10 numbers on your phone. 713-526-KPFT, 526-5738.
You know, Leo, we do have the matching fund still. And so if you're a new member, whatever you can do, it'll be doubled. And that's a great opportunity to take advantage of right now. Support New Capital Show here on KPFT 90.1. Call 713-526-5738 to make a pledge.
Yeah, that's like free money. That means that whatever your new membership pledge is, it will be matched. It's free money, like in a 401k plan, right, when your employer matches it. 713-526-5738. I really, really am grateful for all of you who have pledged your membership to KPFT during the past hour. And I'm grateful for all of those who are right now picking up their phones to do it, because I got to tell you, we are out of time. Doyle has given me the hook. It's been great to be with you. I'll be back next week with you as well. Stay tuned for KPFT local news. We've got lots of news coming up in our 2 hours of news. Take care.
Voice of Pacifica Radio.
Anasot Radio Pacifica al KPFT 90.1 FM for Houston.
Unasikiza tisini nukta moja FM KPFT Houston.
Yawaz hai Pacifica Radio KPFT 90.1 FM.
Oh hi Pacifica Toy Kissing Scene.
Chaliye, aaj hum sab mil karke is dharti pe shanti ke liye.
Chúng tôi muốn nói lên sự thật cho giới lãnh đạo được biết. Chúng tôi là Pacifica Radio. KPFT 90.1 FM.
Hit on home warping, don't fight.